Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church, everybody. Will you all please stand as we sing about the power and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Before I walked up here about how much we can handle on our own, and it's not much, but when we have your power who lives in us, we can withstand what we think is impossible. So Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit in us, that in this life we're not alone, but we walk in your power, we walk under your influence in our life. So Lord, we ask that you rise up today in a very powerful way. You'll be blessed in this praise, Lord. You are so well deserving of it. So, Lord, we just simply come to tell you that we love you, and we just thank you, and we invite you into this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't keep standing up because I don't want you to have to sit right back down. Just a couple brief announcements. You look in your bulletin, you'll see a flyer in there for the women's group. But what you need to know that if you're going on the mission trip, immediately following service, up here in the front of the church, immediately following service, if you're going on a mission trip, we need to have a meeting with you. So please stay. Also, I want to announce that next week we are going to do a luncheon immediately following church.
Sorry, Carol, that was my job then.
No, Carol, we got this. Carol's looking at me because she doesn't. You're not even involved in it, so don't even worry about it. We got it covered, so you got enough on your plate, all right? So we got you covered. But listen, there will be a luncheon right after church. The mission team will be leaving after we eat lunch. We ask you to stay and have lunch with us, pray with us, and send us off. So it's going to be just a really nice time of fellowship before we take off for the mission trip, all right? And also, while we're on the mission trip, and I'll announce this again next week, but while we're on the mission trip, that Wednesday night, that we're not this Wednesday, there is services this Wednesday. There are services this Wednesday, because I'm going to get asked. There are services this Wednesday night here, but when we're on the mission trip, there won't be no services here. We're going to do a live from down there to let you see what's going on and everything, so you'll check that out. Anyways, Mike, I'm done rambling. You go.
All right. Thank you, Larry. You know, we opened up this morning singing about the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. But you think about the love that brought that blood to us. You know, what a crazy kind of love God has for us. We're going to sing about that first this morning. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. Lord this morning with an offering.
Amen.
We're going to learn a new song this morning. And I heard this song the first time I heard it. It really had an effect on me because of the lyrics of this song. It's kind of different for us, and we've struggled a little bit learning it. But I love the lyrics of this song. It starts out, "Praise the Lord, because his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins are many, but his mercy is more."
Amen.
And I want to leave that message with you this morning. God's mercy can cover anything.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Our sins, our iniquities, God, he has covered them all with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So we're going to start singing this chorus. It's really easy. You guys can come out and sing it out with us. His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more.
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum.
Thrown into a sea with no bottom or shore.
Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home?
He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor.
Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost.
We stood beneath the debt we could never afford.
Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Praise the Lord, his mercy is
mercy. Amen.
I pray that we will chase after you, that we will have a desire in our heart to know you, to learn of you, to be obedient to you, because your goodness is chasing after me. So why would I not want to know what you have in store? Because I know what I know is so, so good. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless us. Bless us today, Father, with the hearing of your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will glorify yourself, but that you will build up your church, and that we will know more of your goodness. We'll know more of your love, of your peace. So, Lord, we, your church, we come and offer this worship to you because you are so deserving. You are so good. You are so right. You are so full of truth. So, Lord, we just come and offer ourselves to you as an instrument of worship. But now, Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your holy word. Lord, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. There are nothing that will stand between us. And, Lord, for myself, the same thing. Forgive me, Lord, for I am a sinner. Lord, help me to do what is right in your eyes. The Lord, help me to preach this word. And as always, if I'm going to say something that's not truthful or incorrect or not right, you would silence my lips and rise up the one to speak for you this day. For it's for your glory, not mine. It's for your honor, not mine. So, Lord, I just pray that you allow me to be your servant this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. How is everyone this morning? Hi, Mom. Just a little joke there between me and my mom. I love you, Mom. Everybody look at my mom back here. Last pew right back here. Isn't she beautiful? I'll pay for that later. Yeah. Yeah. Always remember, Sunday's coming, the preacher will get you. Does anybody own these? They're mine? I don't remember. All right, there we go. We are in a sermon series called The Fruit of the Spirit. No, it's open your Bibles to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, Philippians 6, and John 14. Galatians 5, Philippians 4, John 14. As I said, we are in a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. This sermon is on peace. It's part two from last week. But if you have your Bibles open there to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word. So last week I brought to you the first part of this message on the fruit of the Spirit, peace. And if you can remember last week, if you don't, go back and please listen to it online. But if you remember, I told you about the giant redwood trees in the Nevada mountains in California, right? The Sierra Nevada. They are the largest living organism on earth. And they are said to be 2,000 to 3,000 years old. In fact, some of those trees were growing when Jesus Christ walked on the earth. Now, that's just something to think about, isn't it? That there's something still alive now that when Jesus walked on the earth. And through those 2,000 or 3,000 years, there have been forest fires up there in the Sierra Nevadas. In fact, there's one right now that is threatening these trees as we speak. There have been infestations. There's been other things around that have tried to destroy the vegetation. And yet these big trees have survived. And scientists, doing what scientists do, have determined that the reason these trees have survived all these years is because there's a 2-foot layer of bark that encompasses these trees. Meaning this, meaning there is a 2-foot layer of insulation. It has protected the trees from the fires, the diseases, the storms, whatever other outside elements came to try to destroy them. They survived it. So last week I drew your attention to Philippians chapter 4, where Paul showed us, and you can get there to Philippians 4, where Paul showed us that we too have an insulated layer and that can guard and protect us as well, and that is the fruit of the Spirit known as peace. That when the storms in life come, it's not if they come, it's when they come, right? When the storms of in life come, and when the fires of life come, when the disease and sickness come, in the midst of all of life's ugliness, we can survive and overcome. Meaning we can have peace. In these situations, in these times, we can have peace. When we follow three commands or three imperatives that Paul laid out for us in Philippians 4 last week. If you remember those, Paul said if you follow these three imperatives, you will have the ability, you will have the power, you will have the ability to walk in the fruit of the Spirit known as peace. If you remember, first Paul says that we should rejoice in the Lord always, knowing that God is perfecting your faith in the trial. In this trial that you're in, God is perfecting your faith. Knowing God is perfecting your faith, and that thing that He's trying to rob you of your peace, right? To rob you of His peace. That in the trial, in your trial, God is doing a spiritual work. That's what this means. There's something spiritual taking place. And also know this, there is nothing so big in your life that God cannot handle it. Nothing. Kind of like the conversation I had before I walked up here. There's nothing too big that God cannot handle in your life. Second thing, this thing was the imperative was this. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We are to treat others with gentleness. All right? That comes from the Spirit, right? We are to treat others with gentleness. We model the character of Christ. And finally, number three is this. We are to be, according to the imperatives, is anxious for nothing. We are to be anxious for nothing. That is, you be gentle towards others and take your requests and your prayers to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and He will give you. He will give you a peace that transcends all understanding. Listen, it is God who gives peace. When life is spinning out of control and you don't know how it could even be possible, you can have peace. In that situation you're in right now where you think, oh, what am I going to do? Listen, you can have peace. Even when you don't know what you're going to do, you can have peace. It's possible. Here Paul tells us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that if we are obedient in these three imperatives, God will protect our hearts, our minds, and wrap us in the insulation of His peace. It is God's peace. I want you to get this. I'm going to say this over and over this morning. It is God's peace. That peace that transcends all understanding. That is our guard. That is our insulation. That it's our guard that protects us in the trials of life. Now, in a nutshell, that was the first part of today's message. That is what we need to do, right? That is what we need to do to receive the fruit of the Spirit known as peace. Now, today I want to show you or define for you the power behind this peace. Where does it come from? How do we get it and how do we keep it, right? So turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians 4 again this week, all right? And we're going to begin in verse 4. Everybody there? If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, I want you to read with me, all right? I want you to read this. It's important that you get this into you. So as I read this, read with me. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May He bless the reading. Okay, I recap the first three imperatives. So now let's look at the power behind peace. So first of all, this is what I want to look at. First of all, we must realize we have an insulation made from a divine origination. We have insulation made from a divine origination. Now listen to what I'm saying. Look at verse 7. This is really good stuff. To the pastor, it's good stuff, all right? Listen to what I'm saying. Verse 7, and the peace of God. Stop right there. There it is. And the peace of God. The peace of God. This is the only time in the New Testament that you will ever read that phrase. Right there. Peace of God. The only time you'll find it is right there, peace of God. And it's the peace that belongs to God. Let me say that again. It's the peace that belongs to God. It is the peace that God has. It is the peace that God owns, right? It doesn't belong to anyone else. No one else has this peace. Only God has this peace. It's not of the world. It's divine in its origin. In fact, let me show you something. In John chapter 14, just hours from the cross, Jesus is making his way, over to the Kidron, right? Right there, he's on his way over there, and he's talking to his disciples, and listen to what he says to them. Verse 22 of John 14, he says this. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a word for us today, amen? I mean, really, that is a great word for us today. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because I have the peace of God. It is a possession, right? His possession that He's going to give to you. Now, let me tell you something about the peace of God. Go back to Philippians 4. Let me tell you a couple of things about that peace. It originates with God, but I want to show you a couple of things here, right? The peace of God pulls together. I always remember that. The peace of God pulls together. It pulls together. God is a uniter. Satan is a divider. It pulls together. Notice what he has just said in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. And you're sitting here thinking, yeah, right, it's easy, right? You're God, you can say that. No, but listen, remember where God is, in you. Right? And he says, be anxious for nothing. Well, what does anxiety do to a person? What do trials and tribulations do to a person? What happens when your grandson rolls a quad and rips half his face off? What do marital problems do to a person? What do financial problems do to a person? What do work problems do to a person? What do ministry problems do to a person? Listen, the answer is easy. It causes anxiety. And then what anxiety does, anxiety comes along and it pulls you apart. It wants to cause a lot of confusion, right? Listen, when you are full of anxiety, you are just pulled in every direction that you can think of. You are pulled here, you're pulled there, you're pulled somewhere else over here. And listen, but this thing that's happening to you, it's internal. What's happening to you is not external. Well, this anxiety is something that is internal, meaning anxiety separates you internally. Now, I want you to do the connection here, because this peace I'm talking about is spiritually, right? It's from God and it's in you, and anxiety comes and it wants to separate you. What's it want to separate you from? The peace of God. So anxiety brings confusion that affects the whole entire body. Listen, be anxious for nothing. That's what he says, right? Be anxious. Why? Because the peace of God, it pulls together. It holds you together. When everything's falling apart, you don't have to be. It brings internal security and assurance. God's peace binds you together. His peace is glue that binds you together. It binds your mind, your body, and your spirit. When the world around us is falling apart, it pulls all of those things internally to you together. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. Look what it says. It says this: God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Understand, there is not a confusion to what God does. It may be confusing to us, but there's not a confusion to what God does. There's a wholeness to it. Remember, God's peace protects. It insulates your heart and your mind. It holds you together. It guards your heart, your soul, and your mind. Now, jump down to verse 9, Philippians 9, and let me show you something else here, right? So God's peace holds you together. Now, look, up to this point, Paul has been talking about the peace of God, right? That's his point right here. And if you look down in verse 9, Paul's going to say the opposite. And if you skip down to verse 9, he's going to say the opposite. Look at verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God. Do you see it? Verse 7, Paul was speaking about the peace of God. But here Paul tells us that the peace of God, look, and the peace of God will be with you. So if the peace of God is origination, right? If the peace of God is origination, its origin is of God, then the God of peace speaks of designation. The God of peace speaks of designation. Not only does peace come from God to you, it originates from God. That's its source. That's where it originates. That's where it comes from. Our God is a God of peace, which means peace designates the kind of God that he is. Listen, you should be saying amen right now if you're in a trial. Peace designates the kind of God he is. Peace describes God's character. Our God is a God of peace. It is his character. It is in his very nature. Listen, do you remember when Jesus went to the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha? And Martha's in the kitchen, and Martha's in the kitchen working, and she's disturbed because Mary's in there sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's in the kitchen in there, and she's slamming the plates and everything. She's slamming everything. The cupboard doors are being slammed. Listen, every man in here knows what I'm talking about. But she's in there just slamming everything in the kitchen, and so Jesus looks at her and says, "Martha, you're worried and bothered by so many things. Likewise, many of you today, you've got so many trivial things that you've allowed, so much luggage in your life that keeps you from being like Mary and receiving Jesus." What am I saying? I'm saying this: you are so busy that you don't have time to spend with Jesus. From the time you hit the floor, you bypass the coffee table where the Word is sitting, and you've got to get so started in your day because you're so busy in your life that you don't have time to spend with Jesus. You are worried about so many other things and distracted by so many other things that you just can't be bothered by Jesus, who is the author of peace. Who is the originator of peace? His origin is a peace. And we're just so busy. Jesus says, lay that luggage down. He says, lay the baggage down. He says, lay that burden down and come sit here where Mary is sitting. Learn of me. Get to know me. Trust me. Trust my ways. And you come and you experience some peace. Listen, the world, every year out there trying to take care of it, you're so busy with in the world, is not going to give you what you're looking for. He says, come and experience some peace, which is obviously lacking in your life. And oh, how many today? How many live to serve like Martha? Do you know that you can serve so much in a church that it's not healthy? How many times do you hear a pastor say that? But how many today serve like Martha? Too busy to stop and hear. Too busy to learn from Jesus. Too busy to hear His word being taught and preached. And then you wonder, why is my life so chaotic? What in the world's going on, God? Where are you? Well, you left Him out. Why am I so stressed out? Why am I worried about so many things? You see, Martha got so worked up in that kitchen that she was unable to experience the peace of God from the God of peace. Let me say that. She was so busy in the kitchen, she was so busy in her life, she was so busy in her service that she was unable to experience the peace of God from the God of peace who was sitting in the next room of her home. How many times do we pass up that Bible laying on the corner? How many of you are there right now? You're slamming cupboard doors. You're worried about what is or is not. What's going the right way? What's going the wrong way? All the while you get so focused on your own issues that you forget that the God we serve is the same God who put His Son on a cross to die for your sins. Listen to this and never forget this. We serve a God who is a God of peace. That's who He is. And peace is what He wants us to have. His peace in us. His peace in us. Because that's what insulates you against the stress and the tension and the anxiety in your life. Listen, this peace is beyond Xanax and Prozac. That's what the world offers us to get our minds at peace, right? But this goes beyond Xanax and Prozac. God's peace gets beyond and above any human remedy. Which leads me to the next point. Go back to chapter 4 and verse 7. Let me show you a second thing here. You have an insulation that goes beyond human imagination. You have insulation that goes beyond human imagination. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, surpasses. There's a great word there. The word surpasses. That word there is uper echo. Echo means I have. I have. Echo means I have. Uper means over or above. It means this. I have above this. I have what I have is over this. It's above and it's over. It's a great concept here. He says, you have a peace in God that is above and over the circumstances of life. Think about where you're at. Think about what God just said. You have, as a Christian, you have a peace in God that is above and over any circumstance of your life. It's above your imagination. It's above your creativity. It's above your ingenuity. That's the peace of God. It goes beyond anything you humanly can think of. Why? Because it's not of the world. It's divine in its origin. It's spiritual in its origin. So it's above anything that you can humanly think of. By the way, that's why there's no peace in the world today. I just throwing that in there. That's why there's no peace in the world today, because we've not drawn on this. Because there is a peace available in your personal life that is above anything you can imagine, anything that you can possibly think of. Secondly, it is beyond human ingenuity. I want you to get this. It's beyond human ingenuity. Anything that you can do. It's beyond anything you can do. Now, let me tell you what human ingenuity does. Human ingenuity does a lot of things. Human ingenuity says, listen, we need some stability and peace in this situation. Have you heard any of that today? That's what it says. Human ingenuity says, listen, we need some stability and peace in this situation. So what do? So we jump in and we're going to solve a problem before we ever understand what the problem is. Sound familiar today? Sound familiar in your life is to be a greater question. We want to jump in and solve the problem before we really knew or understand what the problem is. We are experts of doing that in this country. But we are also experts of doing it in the church. That before we ever understand what the problem is, we go to work on it, right? Before we understand what the problem is, we go to work on it and try to solve it. That's human ingenuity. Human ingenuity comes and human ingenuity says this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix the problem. I'm going to fix the situation. I'm going to bring peace because I'm going to control it. I can control this. I can make this happen. I can fix it. Did you ever go into a family dinner on a holiday? Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, right? And you got all of your family at your house, and you determine we're not going to have an upset this year. Anybody have any upset in their family on holidays? We're not going to have that this year. We're not going to let Aunt so-and-so or Sister somebody get into it. They do it every single year. Every year they get into it, and they just disrupt the whole entire holiday. And every year it just ruins everybody's Christmas. It ruins everybody's Thanksgiving. But I'm having it at my house this year because that way I can control it. I can fix it. Well, my guess is it ended up being the worst year ever. I've tried it. You thought you knew what the problem was. So you just thought you could control it. But they were set to prove you wrong. That's human ingenuity. Now, the third thing human ingenuity does is this. It simply runs away. And we need to listen to this. The third thing human ingenuity does is this. It simply runs away. Human ingenuity says, well, if I can't deal with it, I'll just run away from it. So I'll abandon my wife and kids. I'll just abandon my husband and family. I'll just leave the church. I'll just leave my job. I'll just run away. That's human ingenuity. But let me tell you something. There's something better. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. And it goes beyond any human ingenuity, comprehension, or creativity. May 18, 2002, and I'm sure some of you may have read this in the past, but it was on all the newspapers. It was in the Baptist press at the time, right? There was a couple in a large Muslim city and a large Muslim country, which was Pakistan. And on that morning of May 17, 2002, they were all in church. Jeff and Cindy Womble were in church with their 6.5-year-old son, Brandon. And I want you to listen to what Jeff said about this church service, right? Our storm began on Sunday morning when a young man entered our worship service and began tossing grenades. As we hit the floor, I covered my wife's head and shoulders with my body, bracing for the blast. The other three other explosions occurred, including one just to our right from a suicide bomber. Well, we were medically evacuated from the country. My son required two brain surgeries. My wife had six surgeries on her leg, and I had several surgeries from a blown eardrum. Both my wife and son had 3 months of physical therapy. But here's how we had victory in the storm. Did you hear that? But here's how we had victory in the storm. Here's how we had victory in the storm. Immediately we relied on and experienced God's peace. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now this is the point and the truth of the matter is this. With his presence comes great peace. If you have the presence of God in you, then you also have the presence of his peace if you're walking in the Spirit. He himself is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace. Watch. If you're an English student or grammar student, you need to dissect this verse because it's awesome. It says, for he himself is our peace who has made both one. You look at that and say, well, what's he mean there? He himself is our peace. And if we have him, we have peace. They're both one. And he has broken down the middle wall of separation. What does anxiety do? What does stress do? He has broken down the middle wall of separation. Listen, Jeff goes on, the guy in this story, he goes on, he said, when the smoke cleared on that Sunday morning, we saw that an unexploded grenade had landed just 2 feet from us. That's when we realized God has just protected us in the storm that the day that the church was bombed. We learned that God is always present, and with that knowledge came peace. Listen, if you are here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't understand this kind of peace. It's not possible for you. Because it doesn't originate in order, it originates in God. It's his peace. And if you have him, the two become one. And he wants to give it to you. Do you understand that? God wants you to have this. He wants you to have it. He wants you to own it. But here is a man who throws his body across the body of his wife and his 6.5-year-old son while everything is exploding around him. And he says, yet in that moment, he says, came the presence of God, the presence of God, and the presence of God brought the peace of God. Now, if that can happen in his life, watch. If that can happen in his life, tell me what's so bad in your life that you can't experience the peace of God. If that can come to him in those moments, what is so bad in your life that God, our God of peace, can't show up in yours? Well, it can if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the one who laid himself down for you. And you can, Christian, if you're walking in the Spirit. That's the key, if you're walking in the Spirit. Now watch, let me give you the last thing. The last thing is this. We have an insulation of providential protection. We have an insulation, we have a protection of providential protection, right? Now watch this. You come to the last part of verse 7. Look at what he says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Listen, I can rejoice in the Lord knowing that God can handle any situation. I can. I can rejoice in the Lord knowing that he can handle any situation. Listen, I'm letting my gentleness be known to all men, knowing the Lord is near, and God sees what's going on. He knows what's happening, right? And God knows that I'm not going to be anxious for anything, and I'm going to take this to the Lord, and I'm going to petition the Lord. I'm going to make my request known to God, right? And look, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard Now let me stop right there with guard. And let's remember, who is Paul writing to? The church of Philippi, right? Do you know anything about the city of Philippi? Well, it was a Roman colony. Now let me tell you something about that. A Roman colony was a little piece of Rome in another part of the world. That's what it was. It's like an American embassy. It's a little piece of America in a foreign country. That is, Roman law held precedence there. Roman customs, Roman holidays, everything about Philippi was like the city of Rome. And so the city would have been guarded, right? The city would have been guarded by Roman soldiers. There would have been a contingency of Roman soldiers to keep the city safe, right? They were its protection. So the city was guarded by a Roman legion to protect its people. Therefore, they knew exactly what Paul was saying. When Paul uses this word, this military term, and says, shall guard, they think, bing, protection. They think, bing, safeguard. It pops into their mind. So they get that term. And the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. Listen, your heart. That's the seat of your emotions, is your heart. When upset comes, when confusion comes, and tension and stress comes, and your emotions are torn back and forth, they're tearing at each other, and then he comes along and he says, we'll guard your hearts and minds. When tensions come, when anxiety comes, your mind begins to race. Paul says, look, it doesn't have to. There's a protection. There's a guard. You don't have to. That doesn't have to happen in your life. It doesn't have to be this way. If you walk in the Spirit will produce something in you. It's going to manufacture something in you. But apart from Christ, it'll never happen. He says, but if you walk in the Spirit will produce the fruit, which is peace. And the peace of God will guard your emotions and will guard your minds so that you're not troubled. Whew. If you don't get anything, I'm trying to emphasize this over and over. It's only God who can produce this peace in these situations in your life. Amen. And listen, there are some of you here today. There are some of you here today who don't have that peace. Because you're sitting here thinking, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. There's some of you seated here today who don't have this peace because you don't have the security and peace of God in you. Where the two become one. Don't leave here today without that. Why you say? Because emotionally you're a mess. And mentally your mind is so torn and distracted that you keep focused on what you can't even keep focused on what anybody says. Do you understand you don't have to leave like that today? And listen, I understand. Had any distractions this week? Had any distraction last night there, Steve? Kathy, you had any distractions lately? I could keep going. Because I know. Listen to me very carefully. I've had distractions this week. Let me tell you, it's a miracle. It's a miracle of God that I'm standing right here before you today. And it's a miracle that I can carry out one self-contained thought, to be honest with you. If it were not for the peace of God. You get me? If it were not for the peace of God in my life and in my heart and in my mind, understand the peace of God can settle on your life, on your home, on your marriage, on your family, on the church, on your business, in the ministry, even in the midst of exploding grenades, that the peace of God that comes from the God of peace can make all the differences in the world in for your life. So let me ask, what about you this morning? What piece of luggage are you carrying around? What piece of luggage are you carrying around? What burdens are weighing you down? Let me say it this way. What's robbing you of your peace? I'm going to tell you something that you guys haven't realized. You've not figured this out. This hasn't crossed your mind. Let me tell you something. Life is hard. You guys didn't know that. I had to let you know. I'm sorry to disrupt your life and your day, but life is hard. There are things that happen that can cause deep and lasting scars. But make no mistake about it. Life can take a toll on us. And the anxiety and the tension, the stress, all leave a mark on us. That is if we don't have the insulation made from divine origination. That is if you don't have the insulation that goes beyond human imagination. That is if you don't have the insulation of providential protection. Do you understand when Christ is in you, you have a providential protection? That beats ADT or whatever. Simply Safe or whatever you want to call it, right? You have the installation of a providential protection known as the peace of God, given by the God of peace. So let me ask you this question. I'm closing. But let me ask you this question. What is it in your life that keeps you from the peace that Jesus Christ can bring into your life and into your person? Let me ask that again. What is it that keeps you from the peace that Jesus Christ can bring into your life and into your person? Well, let me tell you what I know. Whatever it is, let me tell you what I know. Because I've read the Word and I've studied this. It has to do in trusting in Jesus and knowing Him. Whatever the answer is, it has to do with trusting in Jesus and knowing Him. Understand, your lack of peace starts with you not trusting in Jesus Christ. Great word, huh? Amen. But you want to know if you want peace, right? Peace begins when you put your trust, your confidence, and your faith in Christ. I've said this before, and it's so true. If you have N-O, no peace. If you have no Jesus, you have no peace. But if you know Jesus, let me go here. If you know Jesus, then you know peace. K-N-O-W. The question is, are you trusting Him today? The bigger question is, do you know Him today? If you don't, do not turn Him away. He's talking to you right now. And He's telling you, trust me, trust me, trust me. Don't turn Him away. Because let me tell you, when you walk back out those doors, the grenades are coming. But you can overcome. You can only overcome in Christ Jesus. Do not turn Him away. Go to Him. Seek Him. Why? Because His goodness is running after you. Father God, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord Jesus, because on our own, we're just slamming cupboard doors. and we're missing you. Lord, send your Spirit to move in a very mighty and powerful way, that you will move in the hearts of those who don't know you, that they will trust you and believe in you and give their life to you. But Lord, that you will also move in the hearts of your people who call you Lord, who identify themselves as Christian. Lord, that they would come and seek you in their burden, and that your peace, oh Lord, that your peace will come that will surpass all understanding. Lord, we come as your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you please stand?
Amen. Well, don't forget, if you're going on the mission trip, please come here immediately as soon as it's over. The sooner you come, the sooner we get to go home. So if you're going on a mission trip, you need to be up here. And I'm proud to say that Kevin and Carrie Ann Habit, if you look at Kevin's shirt, he's going to be a first time, they're going to be a first time grandparents. Yeah. Yep, yep. Thank God Carrie Ann's in that relationship. So just listen, may the peace of God be up on you. May you go in peace, and may you share the hope that's in you that others will have that same peace. The part of peace in Jesus' name. Thank you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Open our eyes.